if David Asher has a camera, I'd love to see him. I hope you can hear me. What we're going to study today is the sugya of Oseik B'mitzvah Potim in a Mitzvah. I have about 10 pages of Maariv Makomos for you here. We're not going to cover all 10. In Mirtz Hashem, my hope is that we'll cover the first 5. We begin with a sugya in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Chav Hei and Chav Vav. That's the big sugya, the real address for Oseik B'mitzvah Potim in a Mitzvah. And the Gemara there quotes 3 opinions as to what the source is for Oseik B'mitzvah Potim in a Mitzvah. The first opinion is that of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We're going to see that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the most radical of the three. He derives this from the parasha in Baal Loscha of the Anoshim Asher Hayu Tmeim El HaNefesh. Those individuals who were involved in the mitzvah of bringing the bones of Yosef down from Mitzrayim Teretz Canaan, and therefore they became Tmei Mesim, and as a result they could not participate in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says that the Anoshim Asher Hayu Tmeim LeNefesh were none other than Mishal and El Tzafon, who were busy with the burial of Nadav HaAviu, the sons of Aaron, and therefore they were excluded from the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yitzchak says that he doesn't like those opinions because Aaron Shel Yosef was early enough so that they could have become Tahorim, and Mishal and El Tzafon were early enough so even if they were contaminated they could have easily become Tahorim. But rather, says Rabbi Yitzchak, we're talking about those who were involved in a mes mitzvah and they were involved in burying the dead. And Rashi says they were relatives of the deceased, and therefore they were Tmeim. Then the Braisa is quoted there in the same sugya in Sukkah, and it says, Shiftecha beveisecha uvelechecha vaderech. When are you obligated in mitzvos, in Kriyat Shema? That's only when you're on leches didach. You're involved in going someplace, not for the sake of a mitzvah. Prat, this comes to exclude Oseik B'mitzvah. And the Gemara explains that we need both limudim. We have to derive Oseik B'mitzvah, Potan Mitzvah from the case of the burial of the dead and Karban Pesach, and the case of Belechecha Baderech. Why do we need both? If we only had one, so we would say that only applies before the Zman Chiyuv is concerned. And if I only had the other, it would only teach me a regular mitzvah, a mitzvah she'ein bo karis. So that means the Oseik B'mitzvah Potim in a mitzvah, in the case of Korban Pesach, that has far-reaching conclusions, because even though the first mitzvah is not one which incurs a chiyuv kares, we only have 2 mitzvahs of that sort, and that's Milah and Korban Pesach, and the mitzvah that you're foregoing is a mitzvah sheyesh ba chiyuv kares, namely Korban Pesach, nevertheless we apply the principle of Oseik B'mitzvah Potim in a mitzvah. And the Gemara goes on to quote a braisa of Rabbi Chananya, who says that Sofrei Stam, those who are involved in writing tefillin and mezuzahs, and those who are involved in marketing the tefillin and mezuzahs to make them accessible for the people of Israel, they are considered Oskim B'Meleches Shamayim. They're involved in a great mitzvah, and therefore they are pturim, they're exempt from other mitzvahs. So you have a Sofer who's writing a Sefer Torah, he's writing tefillin, he's writing mezuzahs, he's exempt from Kriyat Shema, from Tefillah, from Tefillin, who we call mitzvahs ha'amuras v'torah. And then the Gemara adds a sentence which is very strange. Says the Gemara that this Braisa, which is quoted in the name of Rav Chananya ben Akavya, is built on the words of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Yossi had really formulated the principle of Osek v'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. Those Anoshim Asher Yutmeim were dedicated to the great mitzvah of burying the dead. In the case of Yosef, the Arono Shel Yosef. And therefore, we can extend that or apply that by analogy to the case of Sofrei Stam. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Simon Lamed Ches, the Mechaber brings down this halacha that Kosvei Svarim, those who are writing, the scribes, they are exempt from other mitzvahs. The Rambam leaves it out. The Rambam does not codify the halacha quoted in Sukkah Chavav of Sofrei Stam, that they're Peturim in a mitzvah. And the Beis Yosef notices this in Aruch Chaim Simon Lamed Ches, but he doesn't come to any definite conclusion. But we want to look at a tshuva of the Mishkanos Yaakov, who lived about 2.5 centuries ago. And he has a wonderful, wonderful interpretation of this Gemara, and an answer for why the Rambam omits the halacha of Sofrei Stam. The Gemara says the Mishkanos Yaakov is emphatic in pointing out that the halacha of Rav Chananya ben Akavya of Sofrei Stam, Peturim in a Mitzvah, is predicated on Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Why choose Rabbi Yossi HaGlili? After all, we have many other Shitos and Tanoim and Amoroim who maintain that Osek v'mitzvah potim mitzvah, why put your finger on Rabbi Yossi HaGlili? Says the Mishkanos Yaakov, because Rabbi Yossi HaGlili extends the principle of Osek v'mitzvah potim mitzvah beyond all the other Tanoim. Why? Because the mitzvah of being Osek ba'arono shel Yosef is a mitzvah without a chiyuv. What does that mean, a mitzvah without a chiyuv? There's no obligation incumbent upon me, upon you, upon Reuven, Shimon, or Levi to bury the Arono Shel Yosef. That mitzvah, if at all, falls on the tzibur as a tzibur, but not on any individual. As far as I'm concerned, me as an individual, or for those who actually got involved in this mitzvah and became tmeim, their obligation doesn't exist at all. All you can say about them is they have a kiyum mitzvah. They obtain a mitzvah, but they don't have the obligation of the mitzvah. Can someone choose voluntarily to opt for a mitzvah and then exempt himself from another mitzvah which he's obligated in? Can a mitzvah kiyumis knock off a mitzvah chiyuvis? And the answer is, it depends on Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is not talking about a mess mitzvah. He's not talking about a situation in which you're obligated to bury the dead. On the contrary, you volunteered for that mitzvah. Does that therefore exempt you from another mitzvah? The other Tanoim look for cases of relatives who are absolutely obligated, it was incumbent upon them to bury their relatives. And therefore, Osek b'mitzvah potter mitzvah applies, but they would not go as far as to extend that principle of Osek v'mitzvah in the way Rabbi Yossi HaGlili did it for the case of Arono Shel Yosef, where there is no chiyuv. So therefore, we have a fundamental machlokes as to whether or not Osek v'mitzvah, potur v'mitzvah applies when the first mitzvah that you pick up is optional and the second mitzvah, which you want to push away, is obligatory. According to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and the Shulchan Aruch will soon see, accepts the sheet of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, even a mitzvah kiyumis knocks off a chova under the law of Osek v'mitzvah potur v'mitzvah. Not so according to the other sheetas. Says the Mishkanos Yaakov, when the Gemara quotes the brice of Rav Chananya ben Akavya to establish the ptur mitzvahs for someone who writes for him, he's a scribe. What's the status of that scribe? Is he obligated in that mitzvah? Why did the Gemara single out Rabbi Yossi HaGlili to support this principle of Osek v'mitzvah potur mitzvah in the context of Rav Chananya? The answer is because the mitzvah of writing Sfarim is an optional mitzvah. It may be incumbent upon the tzibur as a tzibur to see to it that we have designated individuals or scribes to supplies with stam. We have to get these Tagrim who will make these Sifrei Torah accessible. So we can buy mezuzahs and tefillin, but no individual is obligated in that mitzvah. And therefore, if you can accept Rav Hanani ben Akavya in the case of Sofrei Stam, you're going to be forced, perforce whether you like it or not, to accept Rav Yossi HaGlili against all the other Tanoim. That's why the Gemara on Daf Chavav goes out of its way to say L'kayim Eschitas Rav Yossi HaGlili. Because Rav Yossi HaGlili's Osek B'mitzvah means even a mitzvah kiyumis. The Shulchan Aruch in Lamed Ches, by codifying the halacha of Tagrim and Sofrim, is accepting la halacha, this expanded principle of Osek B'mitzvah, and applying it even to the case of someone who's Osek B'mitzvah on a voluntary level as a mitzvah kiyumis. That too has the power to knock off another mitzvah. But the Rambam never accepted it. The Rambam omitted Sofrei Stam, the whole sugi of Rav Hanani ben Akavya, because he felt that the halacha does not side with Rav Yossi HaGlili in the expanded version of the principle of Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. And therefore, if you take a look at the Nesivos, which is on the bottom of your page 1, the Nesivos says, Dafka Osek B'mitzvah Muteles Olav Kichiyuv Potter Min HaMitzvah. Only a mitzvah which is obligatory has the power to trump and knock off another mitzvah. Avol lo mitzvah sheino chayev ba. A mitzvah, for example, he gives the barometer that if you're allowed to take money for a mitzvah, you're allowed to be paid for a mitzvah. For example, gabay tzedakah. Gabay tzedakah were appointed by the community to collect charity money, and they have to watch the money and guard it. They, says the Nesivos, are allowed to be paid a salary because they're not oskim b'mitzvah in the full sense of the term. They are volunteering for a mitzvah, but it's not obligatory. And therefore, says the Nesivos, the Gabay Tzedakah, are no less obligated to give a pruta to an ani who comes by than you and I. Because their obligation to become Gadboim doesn't exist. It's purely Behisnadvus, voluntary. It's a kiyum mitzvah without a chiyuv. Even though, says the Nesivos, Nesinas Tzedakah is a chova, Gabbos is not a chova. He says, and the Nesivos has a little bit of a sense of humor over here. He says that if a Gabbos would be a chova, which would mean that it would exempt a gabbai from all other mitzvahs, he doesn't have to give tzedakah. He says, "In Kenha, you call Yisrael gabbai tzedakah. Everyone volunteered to be a gabbai tzedakah. You and I know that it's very hard to find a person who volunteers to be a gabbai tzedakah. In any event, it comes out, to summarize what we've seen until now, is that according to both the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Nesivos HaMishpat, the case of a voluntary mitzvah, whether it exempts you from another mitzvah, is a gigantic controversy, and in all likelihood, at least based on the Rambam sheet that we paskin, that we do not apply the principle of Osek B'mitzvah to Potter Min HaMitzvah for a voluntary mitzvah. You'll see here towards the end of page 1 a quote from the Imre Bina, who was a Rav here in Yerushalayim over a century and a half ago, and he has proofs that Kosvei Sfarim V'Tagrei Pturim Min HaMitzvah, and that's how we accept the halacha, and therefore he's willing to reject the opinions that we saw in the name of the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Nesivos HaMishkan, that the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Nesivos HaMishpat, that Osek B'mitzvah is limited, is circumscribed. We're going to expand Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah, says the Imre Bina. And that's why we're going to paskin the halacha of Kosvei Sfarim. Even a mitzvah kiyumis is enough to knock off a mitzvah shalchova. Again, I want to point out that even though gabay tzedakah are voluntary in nature, but there is a chiyuv on the tzibur as a community to appoint gabay tzedakah, but that doesn't make it into a chova on that individual who comes forward to volunteer for the job. In any event, we now have an answer to that question, why the Rambam omits the halacha of Kosvei Sfarim. And once we're on the topic of the Rambam, I want to get to the main discussion for today. And when I say today, I have to wish you all a good afternoon and a happy lunch. For me, it's already pretty late at night. We're about to start our Mishmar program in about 40 minutes, which is dedicated to the memory of the three Kedoshim. So wish me luck as I deliver my drasha. In any event, the Rambam, in Hilchas Ishus Perek Tesvav, which is dedicated to the mitzvah of Piri Varivya, says the Rambam that with regard to Piri Varivya, it's a mitzvah incumbent upon a man. And at what age does he become obligated? From the age of 17, some say it means going on 18. When he gets to the 20th year and he celebrates his double decade birthday, and he hasn't yet got married, hareza overu mevatel mitzvah saseh. Okay, so I was guilty for about 5 years, but what can I do? In any event, the Rambam says the following, and maybe this is the only heter that I could find for postponing my marriage. He says, "V'imaya osek v'torah v'tarid ba v'yemisyari milisa isha." He didn't want to take up the mitzvah of marriage because he was dedicating himself to study of Torah. Says the Rama, "Reza mutol isacher." He's allowed to push off getting married, and why? Sheha osek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. V'kolshkein v'talmid Torah. Says the Rama, I would grant you that even if he was being osek in a lesser important mitzvah than Talmud Torah, he would still be potter in a mitzvah. How much more so, says the Rambam, in the upgraded, profound mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And everyone jumps on this Rambam. Because from the Sugyan Moed Kadon Daf Tes, we're going to see that if another mitzvah comes by, a person has to drop his study of Torah. That Adarabba, the one mitzvah which is outside of the pale of the principle, the universal principle of Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah does not give you the right to push off another mitzvah. And the Gemara in Moed Kadon derives this from a kind of contradiction in two psukim. The Torah describing the study of Torah calls it Yikarehi Mipninim. It's even more cherished than pearls, v'chol cheftzecha lo yishvu ba, and all cheftzecha, which the Gemara says, assuming means mitzvos, don't compare, don't shine a candle to Talmud Torah. But then the other pasuk says, kol chafatzim lo yishvu ba, and the Gemara says that it depends. To reconcile this contradiction, the Gemara offers the following principle: if a mitzvah comes your way and no one else could fulfill that mitzvah except for you, you've got to drop your Talmud Torah for the sake of that mitzvah. A principle that doesn't apply with regard to any other mitzvah other than Talmud Torah. In other words, if I'm involved in a mitzvah, I don't have to drop it even for the sake of another mitzvah, the likes of which requires my personal involvement. Only if the mitzvah can be fulfilled by someone else, then I continue learning. At the end of the day, the Rambam's Kal Vachomer is very difficult. How could the Rambam assume that how much more so Osek B'mitzvah applies to the mitzvah Talmud Torah, when in truth Talmud Torah is the exception to the rule? This principle of Talmud Torah being the exception to the rule is also reflected in the Gemara in Shabbos, which says Chaverim Shayoskim B'Torah, even those who are dedicated non-stop to the study of Torah Mafsikin, they have to stop and interrupt their learning, L'Kriyashma and tefillah, and so forth and so on. There is another category called Torasum Naso, but the Rambam is certainly not addressing a case of Torasum Naso. And here I want to share with you the insights of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha. At the end of his Sefer Kovetz Ha'aros, he writes the following. And we'll see that other Achronim follow suit. Says Rabbi Chanan, based on the Yerushalmi Masechta Shabbos, Ha'osek b'Torah, when someone is learning Torah, he cannot claim that he's alleviated from other mitzvos, from asiyas mitzvos, because he then becomes, quote-unquote, a lomed al-menash shalol lasos. In other words, the whole greatness of Torah is because a person dedicates himself to Torah in order to fulfill the Torah. He's almanas lasos. And if he's shalom almanas lasos, Chazal say about him, noach lo shalom nivra. He doesn't deserve anything. Now, Talmud Torah is considered the greatest of all mitzvahs, the shkula keneged kulam. Why? Because he's a lomed almanas lasos. Torah represents the key to all the mitzvahs. But in this case, when the mitzvah comes by and he insists that he wants to study his Torah and not pick up the mitzvah, he basically declares himself as a lomed shalom almanas lasos. He's not learning for the sake of the mitzvah. So Rabbi Chanan asks, based on this Yerushalmi, let's say he's learning and he's mevatel another mitzvah. You want to call him a shalom almanas lasos. What does it mean, shalom almanas lasos? This itself is an asiyah. Why is the study of Torah inferior as in its status as an asiyah mitzvah to any other mitzvah? Do you hear the question of Rabbi Chanan? The Gemara says that if he continues his learning, he's dedicating himself to the great mitzvah Talmud Torah, he's considered shalom and as lasos. But wait a minute, you're taking Torah out of the category of lasos. Why is Torah not lasos? What makes Torah inferior that it doesn't deserve to membership in that category, that group of mitzvahs, of 612 mitzvahs? It's no less of an asiyah. Says Rabbi Chanan, we have to sharpen our understanding of the Yerushalmi. What the Yerushalmi is saying is that it's impossible to apply Osek b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah to the case of Osek b'Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is unique. It's different than the other 612. It has no limitation in time. Ein la zman katzuf. Every moment of a person, day or night, he has the obligation of studying Torah. So when is he going to do mitzvahs? Says Rabbi Chanan, we have to redefine our concepts. Meikara kach gidro mitzvasa. What is the obligation of studying Torah? It's bechol zman panui sheyesh lo liyadam. When a person has free time, meaning he's tended to his biological needs, all of Derech Eretz, whatever he needs for his goof, and he's done the mitzvahs that he has to do that are obligatory, now he has free time, he should study Torah. But if a person has to dedicate certain time to his needs, to Achil and Shasiya Derech Eretz, or to other mitzvahs, he says, Eino nechsha mevatel mitzvahs Talmud Torah bnei ones. We don't have to apply the principle of ones rachmana patri, these are mitigating circumstances beyond his control, but rather, says Rabbi Chanan, meikara eino lav chova shel Talmud Torah b'yoso zman. That's the key line that I'd love you to underline if you're following me in the Maror Makomos, which I tried to send you by email. Meikara eino lav chova l'oso zman. The chiyuv of Talmud Torah only applies to zman panui, only to a time period where you're not involved in other important endeavors that you have to take care to and dedicate yourself to, including mitzvahs. You're not doing mitzvahs, you're not doing achil and shasiyah, you're not working in order to put food on the table, you're chayav in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Therefore, when a person now is studying Torah, but all of a sudden he has a chayav mitzvah, he says, in such a case, what the Yerushalmi means to say is that he's not chayav in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah at that moment. He would be almost like a lomed shalom and as lasos if he would continue his learning. Because I grant you that you're obligated to learning when you have zman panui, when you're not obligated to mitzvahs, but now that you're obligated to mitzvah, mitzvah comes by. If you don't stop your Talmud Torah for the sake of the mitzvah, then what are you doing? You're basically declaring that Talmud Torah exists on its own, irrelevant or independent of mitzvahs. That's not true. Talmud Torah has to be the introduction to mitzvahs. And not only that, your obligation to study Torah is only engendered when you don't have an obligation to do a mitzvah. And therefore, if you were to continue learning Torah, despite the obligation to do a mitzvah, if that mitzvah is pressing, it cannot be postponed, you cannot find anyone else to involve himself and do the mitzvah for you, then what you would be saying is that you're involved in Talmud Torah when you're not even obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because you're obligated in the mitzvah. So you're choosing Talmud Torah without an obligation, and you're forfeiting a mitzvah with an obligation. That's considered lomed shalom and aslasos. And my friends, I see this Rav Elchanan as so important for two reasons. First of all, as we'll soon see, it's going to shed a whole new light on the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus with the Kal Vachomer that we began with, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. But secondly, I think it gives us a focus on what does it mean v'gisa bo yom v'layla. Yes, there's no doubt about it. Talmud Torah is a constant, all-inclusive mitzvah. There's no moment of time which is mufka from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But, on the other hand, when are you obligated to study Torah? When you've finished all the other cheshbonos, you know, you've taken care of all your other needs and all your other obligations, including mitzvahs, then and only then you have a zman panui, then you become obligated to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a very fundamental breakthrough of Rav Elchanan in Kovetz Haaretz. And I think you'll see something similar in Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, right there in Hilchos Ishus Perek Tesvav. He quotes the Gemara Nidarim in the name of Rav Gidol Amarav. If a person wakes up in the morning and he says, I'm going to study a certain Perek, a certain Masechta, is Neder Gadol Nadal Elke Yisrael. That declaration and that commitment engenders a din of a neder. That's why we always have to be very careful when we say we're going to learn something. So the Gemara asks the question, how could that neder be chal? Halo mushba v'yomim ar Sinai hu. Already at our Sinai we took a shvuah to dedicate ourselves to study, and we have to learn every part of Torah. So the Gemara says, Kevon di boy potter nafshi b'kriyach mashachas v'yavis. As far as his obligation vis-a-vis Torah study is concerned, he could have fulfilled that obligation by reading kriyach ma, just a small portion of three parshas of the Torah, shachas v'yavis, and then finished. He has no obligation by virtue of the shvu of Har Sinai to go beyond kriyach ma shachas v'yavis. And therefore the shvu to learn this mesechta and this mishnah is valid. So the Ran asks, what's going on over here? The Torah says, Vishinanta. The Torah says that you have to learn the entire Torah. How can you tell me that you read Kriyat Shema Yom V'Laila and Ge'endik Damaisi, you're finished? The Ritva asks the same question based on the Pasuk V'Gisa Bo Yom V'Laila. And the answer is, says Rav Meir Simcha, this you'll see on the third page, is that the Gemara is talking about a case of someone who's tarud b'tzrachav. He is dedicated to all his endeavors that are absolutely necessary, and therefore he doesn't have time for Talmud Torah. What the Gemara means by saying kriyat shma shachas v'yarvis is that the barest minimum of Talmud Torah, of Torah study, which is incumbent upon everyone universally, no matter who you are, is kriyat shma shachas v'yarvis. That he can't get away without. But again, you see that the Ran is operating with the same premise and the same definition as Rav Elchanan, namely, that your chiyuv of Talmud Torah shifts. It's a reflection and a relative to what your obligations are beyond Talmud Torah. When you're obligated in other things, whatever they need, and you're tarred by Sokov and Tzrachov, then you're parted from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But nevertheless, the Gemara establishes the barest minimum of kriyat shma shachar sviyarvis. Now we get to Rav Elchanan and his interpretation of the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus. Says Rav Elchanan, do you know why Osek B'Torah, a person who's dedicating himself to Torah study, is allowed to postpone marriage? And we can apply, says the Rambam, the principle of Osek B'Mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, and he derives it from a Kal Vachomer from other mitzvahs? The answer is that since, says Rav Elchanan, he's not being mevatel the mitzvah period rivi lagamrei. The Rambam is only allowing him to postpone the mitzvah period for rivi. And basically, to postpone that mitzvah means that it's not absolutely incumbent upon me, urgent, right now to fulfill that mitzvah. I can postpone the mitzvah and still obtain the mitzvah. His life is not coming to an end if he doesn't get married tomorrow. And therefore, it's exactly the same like a mitzvah she'efshal l'kaima yidei acherim. In other words, in this situation, since there's no head-on collision between the Talmud Torah that he's learning and the mitzvah that is now incumbent upon him, he can somehow postpone that mitzvah or have someone else do the mitzvah. Then it becomes a zman panui l'Talmud Torah. And he's obligated in Talmud Torah. Says the Rambam, why should Talmud Torah be inferior to any other mitzvah? It's an asiyah like any other mitzvah, and even greater. It supersedes the other mitzvahs. And therefore, one who is involved in Torah study is certainly exempt from another mitzvah. The only thing is, if that other mitzvah has to be fulfilled immediately, and only by him, then he's not chayim in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And if he would continue his learning, he becomes someone who's lomed shalom and as lasos. But as long as there's a possibility of postponing that mitzvah, or having someone else implement that mitzvah, then he's obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's considered like zman panui, because there's nothing urgent that's pushing him to do the mitzvah. Let someone else do it, or let it be postponed. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle of osik mitzvah, part of mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Kal Vachomer. If any other mitzvah qualifies for osik mitzvah, part of mitzvah, how much more so does Talmud Torah? And if that be the case, then perhaps we can shed a light on the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchus Megillah. And the Rambam there too employs a Kal Vachomer. Says the Rambam, Mevatlim Talmud Torah Lishma Megillah. You can't tell me I'm not coming, you know, the Tzibur is laning the Megillah, I'm too busy in the Beis Medrash, I can't come to the Beis Knesses to hear the Megillah. Says the Rambam, no. The halach is that we're Mevatl Talmud Torah for the sake of hearing the Megillah. Why? Says the Rambam. Actually, the Rambam doesn't answer the question why. In order to understand the answer to the question why, we're going to have to go back to the Gemara, which is at the beginning of Masechta Megillah. But be it as it may, the Rambam employs a Kal Vachomer. Says the Rambam, what if I'm involved in a different mitzvah, not in Talmud Torah? Do I drop that mitzvah for the sake of Mikra Megillah? Or do I employ the universal principle of Osik Mitzvah, Potem Mitzvah, and I don't show up in Shul to hear the Megillah? Says the Rambam, it's a Kal Vachomer. If in the case of Talmud Torah, you drop the Torah study for the sake of hearing the Megillah, how much more so do you drop any other mitzvah for the sake of Mikra Megillah? So the great Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, asks the following question. He says, what do you mean you're going to derive a Kal Vachomer from the fact that you drop Torah for the sake of Megillah? You have to drop any mitzvah for the sake of Megillah. No! On the contrary, with regard to Talmud Torah, there's a separate halacha that you drop Talmud Torah for the sake of a mitzvah. Mevatlin Talmud Torah l'mitzvah. So what's the Kal Vachomer that you have to drop Talmud Torah? Certainly you have to drop any other mitzvah for the sake of Mikra Megillah. On the contrary, the reason why you're dropping Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah is because the law of Osik B'mitzvah does not apply to Talmud Torah, but it does apply to other mitzvahs. So what's the logic of the Rambam? But in the light of what we saw, based on Rabbi Chanan and Rabbi Simcha, we can answer this question beautifully, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is greater than all mitzvahs. And if you have to be mevatel Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah, how much more so do you have to be mevatel another mitzvah for the sake of Mikra Megillah? The only reason why we suspend the principle of Osik B'mitzvah with regard to Talmud Torah is because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah doesn't get off the ground. The Chiv Limud is not generated because I'm involved in another mitzvah. But here, he can postpone the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. He doesn't have to do it urgently at that moment. He'll find another free time during the course of the night to read the Megillah. So from the real strict letter of the law, he should be continuing his learning, because it's Zman Panui L'Limud Torah. Ella? But the Gemara says no. There's a separate halach in Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is such an important mitzvah. It is so weighty by virtue of the Pirsume Nisa element, the Kiddush Hashem of reciting the Megillah, that it undermines the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Potem Mitzvah. Meaning, he has a rare case. And we didn't even see this, by the way, in Karban Pesach. All the Mefarshim at the beginning of Megillah grapple with this problem. Karban Pesach is not going to offset another mitzvah that you picked up before, even though that mitzvah is certainly not as great and not as weighty as Karban Pesach, but Megillah is considered on this seesaw, on this scale, to be such a heavy mitzvah that it trumps every other mitzvah, even though you started with that other mitzvah. But we suspend the operation of the principle of Osek v'mitzvah potim and mitzvah. And the Rambam says, no matter what mitzvah you're involved in, drop it for the sake of coming to hear the Megillah. Don't even entertain the idea of pushing off the Megillah to a later time. The Tzivah is gathering, now's the moment of Mikra Megillah, the fast of Esther has ended. Drop your mitzvah. Not only that, says the Rambam, you're going to drop Talmud Torah, and if you're going to drop Talmud Torah and interrupt your learning for the sake of Mikra Megillah, obviously Mikra Megillah is a very weighty mitzvah that obligates a person in a very urgent, immediate way to go out there and publicize the miracle, even at the expense of a mitzvah that you've already picked up, and undermine the principle of Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. And if in Talmud Torah that applies, again, we're working with the logic that Megillah could be postponed, that's the premise we're working with, then how much more so would you have to drop another mitzvah, because Talmud Torah, when you're obligated in Talmud Torah, is greater than every other mitzvah, even as far as Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. And here I want to tell you something, that this Mahalach, I think, is absolutely stunning. But in all honesty, I'm not sure if it fits the language of the Rambam. One thing Rav Soloveitchik always taught us was that you can say brilliant chidushim, but you got to read the Rambam. And the Rambam here at the beginning of Tesvah of Hilchas Ishus says if he doesn't get married by the age of 20, Hareza over umevatel mitzvah aseh. It sounds like the Rambam doesn't view marriage as something that you could simply postpone. You know, as I said to you before, what's urgent? So I don't get married at 18? I'll get married at 25. What's the big deal? No tragedy. We've heard cases of people got married at later ages, older ages. They have children, everything's wonderful. But the Rambam says something totally different. The Rambam thinks that the mitzvah period of Arivia is obligatory now. It's urgent. It's achshav. And the Rambam says if you pass the age of 20, okay, we'll give you 2 years to find your wife. But after that point, hareza over umevatel mitzvah saseh. The whole premise that Rebbe Chanan and all the others are operating with is that, you know what? Talmud Torah knocks off Piri Virivya. You know why? Because Piri Virivya can be postponed. It's like a mitzvah she'efshal asosai de'achirim. Which obviously it isn't, but in a certain logical, conceptual sense, it's similar. And therefore, what we have here is a very, very difficult time with this Rambam. So in any event, what I want to show you here on the bottom of your page 3, again, I don't know if the page number came out, so you'll have to fill it in, but on the bottom of page 3, there is a tshuva of the Ma'arit, and he seems to assume that Piri V'Rivya is an urgent mitzvah that has to be fulfilled now. It doesn't tolerate postponement past the age of 20. Also, the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel, which is the very next halacha to the one that we've been studying there in Perek Tesvav, Misha Choshka Nafsha B'Tar Tamid V'Shogibak Ben Azai V'Dabak B'Kol Yomam V'Lo Nasa Isha Ein B'Yada Avon. Now the Rambam seems to be extending that which he formulated in Halacha Beis, that Ben Azai took the p'tur of Osek v'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah that applies to Talmud Torah vis-a-vis marriage to its extreme. And he never got married. And you'll take a look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who is the giant on Hilchas Talmud Torah. He's the final word. Trust me on that, Rav Osai. And he writes that harezeh mevatel, vadeh mevatel mitzvah, that a person who decides, like Ben Azai, to postpone marriage indefinitely is certainly considered a mevatel mitzvah. And yet the Rambam allows it. So we were saying that, you know, the Rambam allows it because marriage could be postponed. So let him learn and let him dedicate himself to Torah study. Osek v'mitzvah, potim mitzvah certainly applies to Talmud Torah. But we know that that's not so. You can't be mevatel another mitzvah for the sake of Talmud Torah. That would make him a lo mei shalom and as lasos. Therefore, the only way of understanding Ben Azai is some sort of ones situation, meaning he was so dovek b'Torah that he pasha couldn't stop thinking in Torah and he couldn't get married. He would not make a very good husband, if you put it that way. But to say in the Rambam that the Rambam is holding that marriage could be postponed, and the reason for that is because osik b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah applies to Talmud Torah the Kal v'Chomer, that's very difficult. However, here, Rabosai, we have a breakthrough, and with this we'll try to wrap things up. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in the third parak of Talmud Torah, really cracks open Talmud Torah. He breaks it into two dimensions. He says the following. The first dimension of Talmud Torah is Esek HaTorah, sitting down and learning, dedicating yourself to the study of Torah. Then there's another dimension to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that's the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, knowledge of Torah. Imagine a young student at the very early stages of his career in Torah learning. He's got all of Yediyas HaTorah in front of him. That's a very profound and heavy mitzvah. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that with regard to the first dimension of Talmud Torah, namely Esek HaTorah, here you can push away Talmud Torah for the sake of a mitzvah that cannot be done by anyone but you. So we're going to be doche the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so far as Talmud Torah is Esek HaTorah, sitting and learning for the sake of another mitzvah, and we're going to suspend the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Potemitz. But with regard to the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, we will not undermine that mitzvah even for the sake of another mitzvah. And we're going to apply the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah. Therefore, let's come full swing back to the Rambam here in Perek Tesvav Milchus Ishus. The Rambam is talking about a young man who has to make a decision whether to dedicate himself to Torah study or to get married. The Rav Shulchan Aruch claims that such a young man has to dedicate himself to the most far-reaching and profound dimension of Talmud Torah, namely Yediyas HaTorah. He doesn't have the foundations in learning. His feet are not yet wet in learning. He's not on solid ground. And if he knows that by getting married he's going to have to dedicate himself to be mefarnes his beso, to provide for his family, then tipaga mitzvas Yediyas HaTorah. It will undermine his ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, and therefore he's allowed to be mevatel the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. Ein lecha osek b'mitzvah gadol mizeh. The Rambam puts Talmud Torah, insofar as Yediyas HaTorah is concerned, as an obligation, as a mitzvah on the highest level. And if any other mitzvah would trump a mitzvah because of osek b'mitzvah potem mitzvah, how much more so does Talmud Torah of Yediyas HaTorah trump any other mitzvah? Says the Rav Shulchan Aruch, we now understand Ben Azai. Ben Azai understood that for him, Yediyas HaTorah is a continuous mitzvah that he can't live without because of his cheshek and his dveikus b'Torah from the beginning of his life till the end of his life. And therefore, since he was involved in Yediyas HaTorah non-stop, his osek b'mitzvah potter min mitzvah. Again, we come back to Rabbi Chanan, who says something very similar in Hilchas Talmud Torah, based on the Rashi. There's a very strange Rashi in Sukkah Chaf Hey. Everyone's familiar with this Rashi, but nobody knows how to interpret it. Rashi, on the Mishnah that says, Shluchei mitzvah p'turim min ha-sukkah, that someone's on his way to do a mitzvah, is exempt from Sukkah. Rashi says, what's the case? Kigon ha-holchim l'limud ha-Torah. And the Gemara, on Daf Chaf Vav, illustrates this with the case of Rav Chisda and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, who are on the way to spend the Shabbos of Sukkot at the feet of the Reish Galusa to hear the Shir. And when they got at night to a riverbank, they declared that we don't have to sit in the sukkah, we can eat outside the sukkah because we are shluchei mitzvah. So Rashi understood from the way the Gemara illustrates this Mishnah of shluchei mitzvah p'turim in a sukkah that one who's involved in traveling to hear his Rebbe, he's on his way to study Torah, he is the paradigm of Shluchei Mitzvah. But everyone jumps on the Rashi. It doesn't make any sense. You're telling me that if a person's involved in Torah study, he's got to get himself up and sit in the sukkah. We don't apply, we suspend the principle of Osik Mitzvah, Patur and Mitzvah with regard to Talmud Torah. How much more so in the case of somebody who's on the way to study Torah? Lo tehe alicha le Talmud Torah gedola, mi Talmud Torah esek Talmud Torah itself. But the answer is, says the Ar Sameach, that this is a special mitzvah. To go to hear your Rebbe, the Reish Galusa in this particular case, is a very unique mitzvah. It's not your classical case of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. This is a high-powered mitzvah. Says the Ar Sameach, you know why? Because that's called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. I think in the context of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, we would call it Yediyas HaTorah. You're going to learn from your Rebbe the foundations, the methodology, the approach, the Derech HaLimud, the Hashkafas Olam of Torah, the Neshama of the Torah. The Ar Sameach puts it in different terms. He calls it Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, Tosus and Ksuvis. Quotes a Braisa in Masechta Derech Eretz, that there was a Maisa of Rabbi Akiva who was on his way to study Torah, and he took the time to bury the dead. And he was boasting about this in front of Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua, and they said to him, "Al kol psiu psila kiu shafachta damnaki." They criticized him. So Tosfos quotes the Rimi Korbil, who says that in this case, Rabbi Akiva was being mevatel himself from Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, Ugdola Shimusha Yoser Milimudu. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim means to understand the Torah on a deeper level. It's what we call Gemara, to derive Svaros. And that's what Rabbi Akiva was doing at that time. He was learning with his Rebbeim a Derech HaLimud, Havanas HaTorah. That's called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. When a Talmidei Chachamim get together and they learn Torah together, and each one sharpens the other one by giving a tam, that is the great mitzvah of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, and that mitzvah is greater. It supersedes regular Esek HaTorah, and it even supersedes burying the dead. And therefore, we can come back full swing to the Rashi, who says that the case of Shluchei Mitzvah, Pturim and Asukah, is Holchim Lilmo Torah. What Rashi really means is Holchim Lilmo Torah, similar to the case that the Gemara quotes, the story that illustrates this Mishnah, of Rav Chisda and Rav Barfudu on the way to study Torah at the feet of the Reish Galusa. That's called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. That intense great mitzvah will knock off any other mitzvah, even a great mitzvah, the likes of which is burying the dead. And you know that, with this we'll conclude, on the bottom of your page 4, there's a sefer called the Marach or Zarua. He's a Rishon, and he says, Bachurim haholchim lilmo Torah, young students who are on their way to study Torah, p'tur mikol mitzvahs, calls manche the base rapa, as long as they're in the house of their Rebbe. Meaning that they... And he has a whole discussion there whether or not if they want to do mitzvahs, whether they can make a bracha, even though they're not obligated to the mitzvahs because they're studying the base rabba. It means they're involved in the great mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, of understanding Tamei HaMishnah, of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. That knocks off the chiyuv of any other mitzvah. And here we say Osek B'Talmud Torah for sure is part of a mitzvah. If they go ahead and they opt to do a mitzvah, could they make a bracha? Should we compare it to Rabbi Nitam, who says that Nashim Mevarchas al mitzvah seishes man grama? I mean, in the case of Nashim, there's a halacha of a p'tur, but a woman can opt voluntarily for the mitzvah, and therefore she can recite a bracha on it. I don't know if you could apply the same logic to the case of the Arzarua, Bachurim, who are exempt from other mitzvahs because they're Oskim with Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah on the highest level. Rabosai, I almost got to the finishing punchline, which is in the middle of page 5. So, B'li Neder, if you're interested, let me know if this is the kind of shiur you'd like to enjoy. And I appreciate everything that you've done to join me for this shiur. It was kind of a last minute because I never know, you know, in creating these groups, if you could be helpful, just share my email with shul bulletins, with your own email, personal email addresses, and just ask people. I can send you a nusach that I wrote up, a few lines. If they're interested, to please be in touch with me, azariaberzon@gmail.com, and let me know when is a convenient time for them to learn. The best times for me would be, let's say, after you're davening in the morning, if you get up early for davening, that's 8:15, or perhaps lunchtime at 12:15 like we did today, or perhaps late at night, but it's got to be really late, 10:30 till 11:45, because I can't get up earlier than that in the morning, otherwise it'll wreak havoc in my life. In any event, again, Yashar Koach to everyone. I really want to thank you for joining me, and I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos. We should hear Besorot Tovot. It's a very tough time for all of us here in Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And I will try, B'li Neder, to send David Spiegel a copy of the Mar Makomos, B'li Neder. If I don't do so, David, please nudge me. And I want to thank especially David Asher. It was a pleasure to see the Rabbi of Richmond on the screen. I want to thank again David Green for joining me. I think, Jeremy, you're with us today. I want to thank my nephew, the Chacham, Daniel Greenwald, for joining me. And everyone should have a great weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. Please keep in touch with me by email if we can take this further and take it to the next level. Thank you so much, Colton.
Wish you a happy birthday.
Oh yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's amazing that you remember that. Okay. Okay, pass on my love to the whole mishpacha. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday. I said, no.
I was wondering, it's my nephew from Compton. Yeah. I was wondering who knew. Oh. I had to think five people.
Well, sure. I just joined like.
How many people was it? I forget. I'll remember it.
I saw five people.
That's fine. Thanks for joining again.
No, but just in the end.
At the beginning, they couldn't hear me. I don't know what the issue is. And all of a sudden, they started hearing me. It's crazy. And I'm in tension for like 20 minutes. You know, until they finally hear me. And that's like before. I tried that and I tried this.
This should be very good.
I don't know. At the end, you know what worked? And everybody said it was great. It was just the USB. Go figure it out. And another time it was perfect. And the USB didn't work. Today we should be ready for my
report. Okay. I should videotape the router, right? Like last time?
It's up to you. I mean, I'd love to. If you have the videotape, unless it's gone already, of the lady shooter here last time, 2 weeks ago, I'd love to see if we can put it on YouTube or something.
I could do that. Okay. So,
but if it's a big hassle.
I put over him to the draft of the Rocky platform.
Oh. Yeah?
No, so I'm going to do the 10 minutes now. It makes sense to do the 10 minutes. I saw you today, it's possible, on your bicycle.
When I took boxes?
I went, I don't know.
I was in Michigan. It was very embarrassing. I had to buy some storage boxes because my kids' clothes, I have to keep them in the cellar, doesn't it?
You have to set it up here for people to sit.
Oh, they're just cheering. So. Not really, maybe. What? Well, firstly, that my brother won't come anyway. My grandma, before he gets, when he comes, he's a kind of idiot, how old it is. Also, this is one of the energy goals in my life, is that they're in a set of that now. But the other one is a sign.
We'll start in two minutes.
Shalom aleichem.
The return of an old master.
Did you develop any appreciation at all, or are you still think great mantis dead?
It all depends on the lighting.
He was a master of light. How are you? Okay, so you made it.
Good, yeah. I worked out.
Hi. Thank you.